Welcome to St. Stephen Walbrook for this 10-minute time of reflection. My name is Meg. Our reading this week is from the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at verse 46 and reading from the King James Version of the Bible. As Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and hath exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." This beautiful song of praise comes as Mary greets her cousin Elizabeth, when she's made the journey to visit her and had a chance to come to terms with her acceptance of God's life-changing message. It is a song of worship, thanks, and commitment. In the New English Bible, the translation begins, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, my spirit, in God my Saviour. So tenderly has he looked upon his servant, humble as she is." At the end of this, Luke simply says Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned home. After their greetings, that is all we know about the visit. We are told very little about Mary, although a vast amount has been said about her since, in all forms of art and literature, and in wonderful and inspiring detail, sometimes so convincingly that we accept it almost without question. Dr. Gooder writes, "Luke portrays Mary as someone who thinks very deeply about what she sees and hears, and in a way, that is all we know about her." After the Annunciation, the Nativity, and the visit with the baby to the temple, we only hear of her once in the next 30 years, long after Joseph decided it was safe for the family to return to Nazareth. The family were returning from Jerusalem with their group after the Passover celebrations, and Jesus stayed behind to talk to the temple scholars. His parents realized at the end of the first day's travel that he was not among them, and they returned to Jerusalem to find him. After that, we're told nothing more of Mary, with her family, bringing up her children, running a household, or looking after her carpenter husband. But as Jesus is beginning his ministry and teaching, we see him with his mother again at a wedding in Cana, described at the beginning of the second chapter of St. John's Gospel. And we have a sudden brief glimpse of an understanding between mother and son. After the wedding, Jesus returned briefly to Galilee and then left to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. John Boker, after firmly stating that we should be clear what is actually in the New Testament and what has been developed through church history, does suggest that Jesus had an unusually good understanding of the worth of women, and that this might have reflected the values of his upbringing and of his mother, in contradiction to the culture of the time. We begin to understand in very brief mentions how truly Mary had dedicated her life to God's will and kept her early promise to the angel. She is always there, in the background, usually reported just as a presence. At every important turn, at Jesus' death, at his resurrection, and at his ascension, with the other disciples at Pentecost, waiting during her whole life to hear what God was asking her to do. We don't know what part she played or how she acted on God's will. She may not have known herself what effect she had. We often never find out what results from our actions or inactions, and there are many opportunities, some we take and some we miss. But Mary was still there, even after Jesus had left, listening, trusting, and waiting on God's will. What an example to those who followed, both then and now. In his beautifully illustrated and inspiring Advent Book of Days, Gregory Cameron, the Bishop of St. Asaph, says that although we are unlikely to be set a task as difficult as Mary's, Christians believe that we have a path to God, that God wishes us to follow, an invitation to fulfill gifts and opportunities that he has given us, and which becomes for us the path to fullness of life. In the waiting time of Advent, we pause to reflect on God's will for our lives, today, tomorrow, and in time ahead, and the challenges we may face. Pray for peace in the world and for all those who are suffering the consequences of any conflict. We pray for those suffering because of climate change. We pray that we may be part of a culture which promotes an understanding of reconciliation and of protecting the environment, both globally within the one human family and individually within our own direct experience. As you are always there beside us, Lord, guide us to walk with you. Bishop Geoffrey, we pray, Lord of the ages, who calls us to live into the fullness of life and to discover our destiny in your will for our lives, help us to learn from the example of Mary, who, though troubled by the message of the angel, was prepared to say yes to your will. Father of light and life, your call may lead us into difficult places. Help us to take courage from the example of Mary, who was bold in embracing your call and who was lifted by your grace to open the way for the birth of Jesus and the salvation of the world. Lord God, you have acted in the lives of prophets and of saints to reveal your love to the world. As we remember this very human family, especially Mary, through whom your love was brought to us in a new way, into the world, bless us and our homes that love and peace may abound. As you are always there beside us, Lord, guide us to walk with you. Father God, we pray for ourselves. And we pray that we should move among our friends, our colleagues, our families, and all those we meet, however briefly, this Christmas season, shining the light of your love into dark places as we walk along your path. As you are always there beside us, Lord, guide us to walk with you. May we know your love and guidance this week, Lord God, in our thoughts, words, and actions. Help us to hear and pass on the message of the angels, your message of peace and love. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon us all and remain with us always. Amen. Thank you for joining me in this week's reflection. I hope this Advent week goes well for you, and do join us again online or in person, especially for our parish carol service on Wednesday and our Christmas Eucharist on Thursday week, the 22nd of December. Thank you for coming.